I give you the glory today. I praise your holy name. Lord, loosen my tongue. Help me, God, to speak your word. Lord, think through my mind. Speak through my vocal cords. Give us illumination and understanding and revelation in the knowledge of you. Father God, cause that our hearts will indict a good matter. Father God, cause that our tongue will be the pen of a ready writer. Lord, not like we have thought before, not like we have heard before, but what you are saying this morning, the manna for this hour, 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 unleash it upon us, oh God. Oh, in the name of Jesus, cause imaginations to be subject to you. Lord, let every argument, mental resistance to the word of God, distractions, let them be subdued today under the authority of the name of Jesus. Let Jesus alone be exalted in this house. Do that which you alone are able to do. We give you the glory and the praise today, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Everybody shout and leave him an amen. Put your hands together. Give him the praise and give him the glory. Hallelujah. He deserves it. He alone does. Amen and amen. Glory to God. I want to thank you all for being a part of our service today. Thank you for being here. Those of you that are here with us in person in this room, and those that are worshiping with us virtually, either in real time or at a later time, thank you, thank you. I pray that the Lord will visit with you, all of us, today, and open our ears and open our eyes of understanding in Jesus' mighty name. God is so good. God is so good. We're truly excited. He's an amazing God. Okay, are you ready for our confessions? Let's do this confession together. I need to spend some time in the Word of God today. Hallelujah. So bear with me. I hope you are ready for the Word, to celebrate the Word. Hallelujah. Let's take this 2026 confessions together. It's on our screens. Let's do it together. 2, 3, go. 2026 is my year of supernatural shift, and power is changing hands. The shift is here, and I am taking over. Supernatural, helped, incredible, favored, and transfer of power. This is my crossover, pass over, take over, make over, do over, walk over, and fly over year. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. He neither faints nor is weary. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. There is no one like the God of Israel, who rides across the heavens to help me. The eternal God is my refuge, and underneath me are his everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before me, and he will say, destroy them. I am helped, favored, and blessed. The Lord is my saving strength and the shield of my life. My help comes from him who made heaven and earth. He will not allow my foot to slip or be moved. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord preserves me from all evil in my going out and coming in. He is my protective shade and my covenant covering. I sit fearlessly and confidently at the throne of God's unmerited favor, and I soak up his mercy and grace. Praise God, I am helped, favored, and blessed. This is my year of the incredible. My incredible praise to my incredible God is provoking incredible miracles in my life. Strange things, remarkable things, extraordinary things, astonishing things, and unimaginable things are all lined up for me in this season. The story and glory of my life today will be improbable, amazing, unthinkable, and uncommon in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 2026 is my year of non-stop laughter, celebrations unlimited, unending festivities, and round-the-clock jubilation. Adversity will expire, and I will recover. God will have the last laugh and the final say. I'm laughing today, tomorrow, and the day after. Look what the Lord has done. There is no expiration on his promise now. Sorrow is destroyed. Failure is forgotten. Anxiety is vanquished. Fear is defeated. Setback is sent back. Bad news is stale news. Satan is conquered. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, laugh with me. Glory to God. In this season, is shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump, and he sets them among princes, placing them in seats of honor. Is shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. God said he's given me treasures hidden in the darkness and secret places of the earth. Is shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. From bitter waters in Mara to pleasant streams in Elim. Is shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. From forsaken to Hephzibah, and from rejected to Beulah. Is shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. From beggar to ruler, from loner to owner, from supplanter to contender. In this season, is shifting, and there is a lifting up for me. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. This is my year of vision shift and generational shift. I see the invisible, and I do the impossible. This is my season of open opportunity and open doors. I give my bread to the hungry, and I offer hope to the hopeless. I am anointed to bind up the brokenhearted, to comfort the afflicted, and to set the captives free. The spirit of sacrifice is upon my life. I say yes to your way and yes to your will, my Father. I choose you as my priority, and I make you my destiny. I receive the sweet fragrance of heaven over my life today. The plague is stopped. The curse is broken. And my bloodline is redeemed forever. Hallelujah. I speak life. Lazarus, come forth. I speak life to you. Dry bones, come alive. I speak life to every part of my body and my mind. Come alive. I speak life to you. Cells, vessels, nerves, tissues, organs, systems, limbs, and joints. Come alive in Jesus' mighty name. I speak life to you. Dreams, womb, ventures, investments, treasures, properties, ministry, family, partnerships. Come alive in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, speak life. I speak life over God's people. I speak life over God's vision. I speak life over God's families. I speak life over God's treasures. I speak life over God's properties. I speak life. I speak life in the name of Jesus. 2026 is my year of supernatural shift, and power is changing hands. The shift is here, and I am taking over. Supernatural, helped, incredible, favored, and transfer of power. This is my crossover, Passover, take over, make over, do over, walk over, and fly over year. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Go ahead and be seated in the Lord's presence. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Whew, hallelujah. Incredible. Unconventional. And supernatural. Incredible. Unconventional. And supernatural. Amen. We're running towards the end of August, and there's so much that the Lord still has in store for us this year. We have already experienced some of the most amazing miracles that we have ever experienced this year. That has already happened. But I'm hearing in my spirit, the Lord said he's not done yet. Amen. Some of the biggest things that he has in store, they are still ahead of us. Help me, Holy Spirit, with my notes today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. Let's read a couple of scriptures. I want to go over these seven very, very important areas where we need to focus a lot as we open up ourselves to receive and to continue to receive the incredible things that the Lord has prepared for us. Some of this we looked at earlier in the year, but I just have like a slightly deeper pressure within my spirit to delve a little further into some of these things. So let's go to Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. We're going to read in Luke chapter 5, and then we're going to go and read in 2 Kings and chapter 7. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching. You know what? Let's read this from the Amplified. I think that might be better. I won't read the whole thing, but I think the Amplified actually just helps us. One of these days, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come from every village and town of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present with him to heal them. Keep on going. 18. And behold, some men were bringing on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed, and they tried to carry him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him with his stretcher through the tiles into the midst in front of Jesus. And when he saw their confidence in him springing from their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." Verse 25. And instantly, the man stood up before them and picked up that which he had been lying on and went away to his house, and recognizing and praising and thanking God. And this is our verse right here. Overwhelming astonishment and ecstasy seized them all. And they recognized and praised and thanked God. And they were filled with and controlled by reverential fear. And they kept on saying, "We have seen wonderful and strange and incredible and unthinkable things today." Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Now, I want to push this at you because the first time the Lord gave this word to us was very early in January of 2026. And we are now in August, approaching September. I want to throw this verse of scripture at you. If so far this year, you have not yet had an experience yet where this verse of scripture actually happened. Overwhelming astonishment and ecstasy seized them all. And they were just recognizing and just praising and just thanking God. And they were filled with and controlled by reverential fear. And they kept saying, "We have seen wonderful and strange and incredible and unthinkable things today." If this has not happened for you in 2026, you have unfinished business with God. This verse of scripture has to happen for you before 2026 is over. Amen. I want you to open your spiritual eyes, your spiritual ears, and I want you to open the vessels of your heart, enlarge the coast of your imagination, and I want you to set faith on fire within your spirit, because this scripture, verbatim, has to happen for you this year. The word of God has got to. This is just August. So congratulations if it has already happened. Congratulations. But if it has not happened, where you had overwhelming astonishment and uncontrollable ecstasy, where you couldn't control yourself, and you were just jumping, woo, and you were just dancing, woo, and you were just shouting, woo, and you were just screaming, woo, and you were just saying, "Oh God, oh God, oh God." Then you have unfinished business. Then God, there's still some things that the Lord has that you have to take this year. You and I must not allow 2026 to end without getting, this has got to happen. I'm not saying, thank God, every blessing is a blessing. Every miracle is a miracle. You know, things happen. Every day is a miracle. Yes. But the Lord promised us incredible. This is a year of incredible. Amen. It's a year of supernatural shift. Yes. That means some things have to happen this year that will cause us to go, ha, 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 ha. And I'm not preaching. I've got to teach in the short time that I have. But that's, I just got to throw that at you before we go back and read in 2 Kings. Because I want you to crank up the gear of your spiritual engine. Amen. Overwhelming astonishment, ecstasy. Overwhelming astonishment, ecstasy. Like this is, when you go, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. That has got to happen in every life this year. Amen. How many more months do we have before this year is over? We're towards the end of August now, so we're getting close to. So that's September, October, November, December. 4 months. Overwhelming astonishment and ecstasy has got to happen for you this year. Amen. 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 So no matter how the year has gone so far, no matter what it has looked like, you still have 4 months to realize the fulfillment of the promises of God. And you will. I promise, in the name of Jesus, I declare and prophesy over you today that you will. Many of you are in a place where you are very well primed for that. You are very well primed for that. It will happen. It will happen for you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, the second scripture is that of the four lepers, or the promise that the Lord made in 2 Kings chapter 4. You know, I have an alarm set that is going to go off by what time? 12:45. We are going to ignore that alarm, okay? So I can, let me preach all the way to 1 o'clock and then I'll stop by 1 o'clock, okay? Is that all right? Okay, thank you. That alarm is going to go off and I'm going to turn it off. But just to give you a heads up, I want to minister all the way to 1 o'clock because I don't want to be rushed. All right, 2 Kings and chapter 7. And let's read from verse 1. Second Kings chapter 7. Let's read from verse 1 all the way down. I can only read a few verses here so I can get on this note. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. This people were encountering an impossible situation." Is there anyone here that has ever encountered an impossible situation? Like those four men in Luke chapter 5 and that paralyzed man, it was an impossible situation. That entire nation was dealing with an impossible situation. And then the Lord sent his servant to speak a word. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Then a Lord, you see, that was impossible. That's not going to happen in the natural. And everybody knew it. So the Lord, on whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "You will see it with your eyes, but you will not partake of it." And then there was these 4 leprous men. You know, God, everything God does is in order. God is a God of order and arrangement. The story of these 4 leprous men didn't just show up out of nowhere. It was planted in this story for a strategic reason. There were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, Why do we sit here until we die? Verse 3. I've already told you, this is one of the most powerful questions in the entire Bible. Why sit we here until we die? There are many people who are saying, "I'm just waiting on the Lord to do this incredible." This astonishment, overwhelming astonishment and ecstasy. I'm just waiting for the Lord to bring it to pass. Yes, the Lord will bring it to pass. But you actually get that motion. You get that miracle in motion.
Amen.
That miracle follows a motion that you and I create in the spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. These 4 lepers said, Why are we going to sit here until we die? And then, of course, they went through the whole thing. All of that. And then they rose up in verse 5 in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they came to the uttermost part of the camp, there was nobody there. And the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots. The Lord had made the host of their enemy to hear a noise. Even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, "Lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us." And then they rose up and fled in the twilight. When did the lepers get up? In the twilight. That's verse 5, right? When was it that the Lord caused these people to hear a great noise? In the twilight, right? So that means until the lepers rose up, there was nothing different. Until the lepers actually rose up, nothing was happening, even though God had given a word. And long story short, you know this story because I got to move on here. Towards the end of it, everything that the Lord said came to pass, even though at the beginning it seemed impossible. God's word, when he speaks them to us, always appear impossible. But I want you to keep in your consciousness, God specializes in impossible things. Moriah, you're going to help me a lot. I have a number of scriptures I'm going to go to. Let's go to Mark 10:27. God specializes in doing impossible things. This is the first area that we need to have established within our spirit. Look at that. Mark 10:27. Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men, this is impossible, but not with God. For with God, what? How many things? How many things? All things are possible. For with God, all things. Even things labeled by human beings to be impossible. All things. Even things labeled by different swaths, segments of the society that we interact with. All things, Jesus said, are possible. Look at that scripture in Luke 1:37. Put that up in the Amplified. Hallelujah. Luke 1:37, put that up in the Amplified. Look at what it says. For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. That means every word that God speaks already carries within it inherent power to be fulfilled. Now, it may not be fulfilled in some people's lives, but it will be fulfilled in somebody's life. Amen. Now, that somebody just needs to be you. You just need to make up your mind that somebody is going to be me. Because I don't know what the deal is with my brother or my sister. I don't know what pacts they have with the Lord. I don't know what their journey is. I don't know what their arrangements with. I don't know their story. I cannot judge God based on my brother or my sister's story. Because the Bible says, let God be true, let all men be liars. So my brother or my sister's experience is not the yardstick of the faithfulness of God. Your brother or your sister's experience is not the yardstick. You know, I often hear people say, well, Pastor, but you know, I tried it. I stepped out. I did everything, but God didn't come through. And usually, when somebody believes that, in their minds, they believe they are already at the end of it. But when I hear that, there are two things. You are either not yet at the end of that story, or something is out of place. And you just need to give God some other opportunity to demonstrate his word in your life. Amen. But as far as God's word, look at it. With God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God will be without power or impossible of fulfillment. You know, there is nothing too hard for God. People sometimes say, this is too hard. This is too hard. No. There is nothing too hard for God. Put that scripture up for me, please. Jeremiah chapter 32. Look at it first in verse 17. And then let's read 26 and 27. People often say, you know, Pastor, that's just so hard. That's just so difficult. Well, you know, I'm going to have to believe the word of God over what you are saying. Because the Bible says, for God, there is nothing too hard or wonderful. Let's read this together. And the Lord God, and alas, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched hand. There is nothing too hard or too wonderful for you. That is, he is the master of wonders. There is nothing that can confound God's wonderful nature. There is nothing too wonderful for him. There is nothing. Then go on to verse 26 and 27. He repeats it similar. I'm just not trying to excite you this morning. I want to just, you know, I feel of the Spirit of God to just really say some things very definitely to you. So however it comes, I'll praise God. Look at verse 26. Then is that 32:26? Let's read that in the King James. Thank you. That's Jeremiah 32:26 and 27. Look at it. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? What's the answer to that question? Nothing. So God specializes in doing impossible things. I want somebody to just say those words with me. Say it again. God specializes in doing impossible things. Say one more time. God specializes in doing impossible things. When something you are confronting appears impossible, that's a job for God. When something you are confronting appears impossible, that's a job for God. What is it that gets the impossible working power of God in motion in our lives is our faith. So the second area, which is the area really where we've spent a lot of time, every time I've talked about this particular series of messages, has been the area of faith, to be aggressive with your faith. But I just want to say to you again, until faith is activated, power is not in motion. Until faith is activated, power is not in motion. The Bible says that those men, they couldn't find a way, so they broke the roof and lowered their friend in the presence of Jesus. And the Bible says when Jesus saw their faith, what was their faith? Their faith was their believing enough to break the roof and lower their friend in the presence of Jesus. Jesus saw their faith. Until faith is activated, power is not in motion. Until faith is activated, power is not in motion. Look that up. 1 John 5, verses 4 and 5. What does that say? God has given us faith, and our faith is what conquers the world. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It is our faith that conquers the world. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Right? Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Even our faith. Amen. The Message translation says, it's our faith that brings the world to his knees. When you confront impossible situations, it is your faith that will bring those situations to their knees. The fight of faith is not a walk in the park. Let me say that to you one more time. The fight of faith is not a walk in the park. You don't start walking in faith and then give yourself the liberty to quit when things don't seem to be lining up with what God promised you. You don't have that liberty. I mean, you can take it if you want, but you don't have that liberty. I don't have that liberty. Hallelujah. The walk of faith, this is where a lot of believers suffer their most, this is where believers suffer their most difficult adversity, is in not recognizing that the walk of faith is not a walk in the park. That is, it is not the easiest thing. Grace makes it easy. But the walk of faith is challenging. The walk of faith is always exciting at the beginning. Have you noticed? Those of you who have done anything worthy of... last week I read you something from one of our books. I didn't bring that book here today. But if you are going to achieve anything of worth for the Lord, you are going to have to do it in faith. Taking strides and steps of faith. But have you noticed, usually, at the beginning, everybody who sets out, if you set out to pursue a career, if you set out to do a business, if you set out to do a ministry, if you set out to start a family, if you, whatever it is, you at the beginning, it is very exciting. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. When you get up, it is very exciting. But that excitement, you are going to have to fuel it through the process of faith as you keep walking, because there will be so many opportunities for that excitement to be challenged and diminished as you walk the walk of faith. Your enemy, Satan, is not going to fold his hands. Satan is going to throw things at you. He's going to throw things at you. Sometimes before you start out, it may look like all the doors are open. The moment you get up and you start going, suddenly all the doors start getting closed. All of them. In fact, if you look, you have to ask, you have to wonder sometimes, did somebody send a message around? But it is the truth. Why are all the, is there a coordination somewhere? Because all of these people don't know themselves. All these situations, they are not connected. But why are all these doors shutting at the same time? It's because there's an adversary who is going to attack and contend with you as you start walking on this journey. You have to fuel that excitement with the word of his promise. You have to. Amen. That initial excitement is good. I can tell you, the initial excitement is great. Yes, but you have to fuel it. You have to fuel it. How many people remember the story of Peter when he saw Jesus walking on the water? And all the other disciples were afraid. And they were, he's a ghost. But Peter said, Lord, and Jesus said, don't worry, be not afraid, be of good cheer, it is I, right? The Lord always brings a message of good cheer. Yes. I love him for that. Yes. He always brings a message of good cheer. Yes. While the world is bringing messages of doom, God always says, be of good cheer. There's never been an angel God sent to his people that didn't say, be of good cheer. Peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. He always brings a good message. Always brings a good message. While you are fretting and when you are, God said, don't worry, be okay. I got this. I got this. Amen. Don't worry about it. I got this. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Yes. But how many of you remember while those disciples were doing that and Jesus said, don't worry, don't miss, be of good cheer. And then then Peter said, Lord, if it is you, bid me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, okay, it is me now. You want to come on the water? Come. How many people know Peter was very excited? Peter was super excited. That's the excitement you feel when you start something. Anything you start, always starts with excitement. If it's a job, it's excitement. If it's business, it's excitement. If it's ministries, if it's career, if it's whatever, family, everything you start always has excitement. However, once you start and you start walking, there will be opposition. That excitement is going to diminish, and if you are not careful, it may diminish to zero. You may wake up one day and be trying to remind yourself, why did I even get into this? But you were excited when you got into it. So you have to keep faith active. You have to keep faith active. Put that scripture up for me real quick. Matthew 21, 21, 22. Just read that and let's move on. I got ways to go here. You've got to keep your faith active. You've got to keep feeding your faith. You've got to keep reminding yourself what the promise was, what God said. You have to look away. I'm going to come to what you look at, vision in a minute. But you have to keep looking away from what you see, and you have to keep looking into what he said. Keep looking away from what you see. Keep looking at what he said. Keep looking away from what you see. Keep looking at what he said. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. All things. Hallelujah. That's 22. Let's read 21:21. 21:21. Thank you, Lord. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do that which is done unto the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. It shall be done. Jesus didn't say it shall be done today. He didn't say it shall be done tomorrow. He didn't say it shall be done, but he said it shall be done. It shall be done. Believers, when they start having problems, then they say, it is not being done. But Jesus said, it shall be done. Amen. Believers say, but I've already done 3 months, and it shall not have been done. But Jesus said, it shall be done. The Lord is trying to quicken you today. The Lord is trying to quicken you today. The Lord is trying to quicken you today. I'm not in excitement mode. I'm not preaching to you. There are too many believers failing. They are failing the test of faith. Jesus said, it shall be done. I know how tempting it is. How trying it is. I know how difficult it is. You just want to jump. Last week I told you, this thing, people enroll for this program. It just gets so hard, they want to quit. They want to get, and I understand it. It's hard sometimes. But Jesus said, it shall be done. It shall be done. So keep engaging your faith. Stay aggressive with your faith. Amen. Whatever you need to do, do it. Do it and keep the word of God alive. Amen. It shall be done. I told you last week, if it's a health situation, do everything you need to do in the spiritual, in the natural, in the medical. Do everything you need to do. Do it and keep the word of God alive. It shall be done. But it's not just medical. Every other area of life. If the Lord told you it's time for you, and you better hear that, make sure you heard that real clear. If the Lord told you it's time to take that opportunity and to begin to run with that next level of your vision, and you start out with excitement and oppositions begin to come, remember, do everything you can to keep the word of God alive. He's not a man that he should lie. What the world calls failure is fuel for success. What the world calls failure is fuel for success. Sometimes you are just learning some new way to achieve a goal that you didn't know about before. You read the books. You followed all the instructions, but nobody told you this particular one. So now you are learning it by your own personal experience. It is fuel for success. It is not failure. Failure is only failure when you accept it. Failure is only failure when you accept it. If somebody says, like Billy Graham, one of his lecturers in one of the first Bible colleges he went, they told him, you are not a preacher material. He told him, you are not a preacher material. You don't have what it takes to be a preacher. You and I today, if you hear that somebody told that to Billy Graham, what would you say? You say that person is crazy. He said that professor must be crazy. Why? Because you and I now know Billy Graham is one of the greatest evangelists that ever lived on this planet. Yes. But there was a time a professor told him when he was in seminary that he was not a preacher material. That's the same way things and people may tell you, you are not business material. You don't have what it takes to succeed. You can't do this. See, look at the evidence. You can't do it. You can't do it. Sometimes people will tell you, I said this last week, you are too old for this. You don't have experience. Some people will tell you, you don't have the right qualifications. You came from the wrong family. Look at your ethnicity. People tell you all sorts of things. Failure is only failure if you accept it. I didn't say sometimes you may not trip. But if you trip, what do? Those of you who are parents who have raised little children, do you remember when your little children were just beginning to learn how to walk, to crawl? When they start walking, taking one step, and then they fall, did you just slap them on the head and say, stay on the ground? What parent does that? What do you do when you do that? When you see them fall, what do? You pick them up and say, do it again. Do it again. Is that what you say? Do it again. Why do you say that? Because you know this child will walk. Yeah. This child will walk. Yeah. Did the child fall? Yes. Did the child struggle? Yes. And sometimes the child will even look at you like, don't put me through this. I can't do it. But you know this child will walk. So keep your faith working. Amen. My friends, let me declare to you what the Lord said to me. You are on the precipice of a new dawn. You're on the brink of a glorious outpouring. Things that eyes have not seen, things you have not yet imagined, are about to be unleashed over your life. You are on the brink of it. Don't listen to the noise, he said. Don't listen to the noise. Don't watch the movies. You are on the brink. You are on the brink of something glorious, of something supernatural. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I receive that. I receive that. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. You must not quit. You must not go back home. You must not run away from the challenge. You must not stop believing. It shall be done. It shall be done. It shall be done. You will rise to that position. If you will stick with it, you will rise to that position. They said you couldn't do it. It might need for you to get one more degree or one more diploma or one new training, but you will rise to that position. Every time you have tried, you get so close and then it falls apart. Then they say, oh, you can't do it. You don't have it. You can't do it. But God said, it shall be done. It shall be done. You may need to put yourself through a grinder. You may need to burn some midnight oil. You might need to challenge yourself at a higher level. You might need to get some new materials that you had not exposed yourself to before. But Jesus said, it shall be done. I do not pastor failures. I don't shepherd failures. God has never failed. I will never shepherd failures. You will never fail. You will never fail. Shout hallelujah if you believe it. Sit down. Vision is crucial. Vision is crucial. Put up Habakkuk chapter 2. Let's read from verse 2 to 4. Habakkuk chapter 2. Yes, that vision is for an appointed time. But the work that must be done to make that vision manifest at the appointed time, that work is today. The work of your vision is not for an appointed time. The manifestation of your vision is for an appointed time. But the work of your vision is today. Look at it. The Lord answered me and said, write down the vision. Make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. Verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak. And it will not lie. If it tarries, wait for it. Because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Hallelujah. Verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. But the just shall live today by his faith. Today. Your vision is for an appointed time. The dream will be manifest at the end. It will speak. It will manifest. It will surely come, the Bible says. But the work to make it come at the appointed time is today. Amen. The work is not for an appointed time in the future. The vision is for an appointed time. It will speak at the end. At the end it will come. But the work that will bring it to pass at the end is today. If you are not doing that work today, it will not come tomorrow. The vision will not come to pass tomorrow. Vision is crucial. You will not rise above what you see. You will not advance beyond what you see in your spirit. Vision is crucial. Your focus is important. Your expectation is important. Put that up for me real quick. Genesis 13 from verse 14 to 17. After Lot left, God came to Abraham and he said, begin to, listen, lift up your eyes. As far as you can see. I think that's what you preach one time. As far as you can see. As far as your eyes can see. He waited for Lot to leave. Before Lot left, they were having fighting, strife. They were, you know, nobody knew who was really hearing from God. Nobody knew who was really serving God. Everything was messy because the enemy, Satan, is the architect and the author of confusion. And every time there is confusion, there's no clarity. People don't know who to follow. People don't know who to believe. That's Satan's plan, right? So people cannot be energized in their faith. People cannot walk in the right direction. Because every time there's any kind of strife, people don't know. So, you know, those of you who are married, if you fight and you are fighting and you are in strife before your children are confused. They don't know who to believe. They don't know who to you know. That's just, so in the same way in the spiritual, when there's confusion and there's strife, there's no clarity. And when there's no clarity, there's no clear path forward. So God waited for there to be clarity. Sometimes God is just waiting for you to clear up some situations. Sometimes, God is just waiting for you to eliminate confusion. Because there is a path that you need to walk that is going to take you to the place that God promised to take you. But this confusion has to be cleared up. This mess, God can't bless it. God can't bless this mess. God can't bless this mess. This disorder is a stranglehold to the life that God wants to put in this situation. You have to clear up this mess. But the moment you clear up this mess, light comes. And once light comes, oh my God, there is no stopping you. There's no stopping you, because the Bible says the path of the just is as the shining light. Once the light comes, you are rising higher. Amen. Once the light comes, you are rising higher. But you have to clear up this confusion. Because as long as you allow this confusion, there will be no light. And if there is no light, there will be no progress. There will be no rising. You have to get on the same page. Yes, and if what it requires to get on the same page is one of you who feels like you are the one who is right, be wrong. Say, okay, I've said everything I need to say. But it looks like we're at an impasse. And as long as we have this impasse, there's not going to be a miracle. We can't move forward. So I know I'm right about this. But since I can't get through to you, I'm going to be wrong so that we can do what you want us to do. Let's clear up this mess so that we can advance. As soon as Lot left, God came to Abraham. God said, lift up your eyes. As far as you can see, look northward, look southward, look eastward, look westward. He said, all the land that you see, all the land that your eyes can see, I have given to you and your seed as your inheritance. Hallelujah. Woo! And then he told him, begin to walk. Begin to, you know, if somebody saw him walking on this land when he didn't own it yet, they say, what's wrong with you? Eh? We always call you Oversabi. This is your real Oversabi showing. Eh? You don't own this land. Somebody else owns this land. But here you are walking, you know, for you to walk through the length and the breadth of something, it's almost like you have ownership. God said, take ownership before you have ownership. God said, take ownership before you have ownership. Take ownership. Do you see that in that confusion? In that confession? Eh? This is my walk over, do over, take over, pass over, make over, fly over. Amen. Hallelujah. This shift is here. And I am taking over. You have to take over before you have it in your name. You have to take it over. You have to say, it's mine. Yeah. Eh? It's mine. You just don't know it yet. I know how you are talking with all these different people. They say they have money. They are the ones who are going to buy it. But actually, this is mine. When you rise up in faith like that, God says, it's yours. It's yours. You can have it. You can have it if you can believe it. You can have it. Look forward. Look upward. Look inward. All right, it's 1 o'clock. We got us. Let's stop this. Let's stop this. I want to challenge you as I close to take advantage of the laws, spiritual laws. To move forward aggressively on this journey. one of those spiritual laws, the one, and I've read many different ones earlier in the year. I gave you a number of them. The one that has been big time in my view over the last few months is the law of sacrifice. Earlier this year, I remember the Lord, you see that line in our confession? The spirit of sacrifice is upon my life. I say yes to your way and yes to your will. I give my bread to the hungry and I, whatever that whole paragraph says. The Lord said to me earlier in the year, he said, I want you to make the biggest sacrifice that you have ever made. I knew exactly what he was talking about. So I told Pastor Tino the word the Lord gave. We stood in agreement. You know, the biggest one-time seed we have ever given into the kingdom of God anywhere for many years was $10,000. The Lord said, I want you to give the biggest. Immediately I knew what he was talking about. Sir, he said, you've never given 20,000 one-time seed. I want you to give a one-time seed, $20,000. This year. So we got in agreement. We held hands. We prayed. We needed that money badly. The Lord had sent us something from somewhere totally unrelated to work or anything. We wrote, for the first time ever, our first time ever, $20,000 check. Hallelujah. Now, of course, this is not like through the, just like you all, I mean, you give to the kingdom of God different aspect. We give to the kingdom of God different aspect. Yearly giving, when you add it all together, yearly giving is over $100,000 now, most years, right? So it's not, I mean, I'm not talking to the whole kingdom, I'm talking to Abundant Life by itself. It's over $100,000. And it will be this year as well. Amen. However, you know, after that experience and that encounter, and some of you have heard me say this, you know, this scripture, this thing in our confession, God is giving me treasures, treasures hidden in the darkness and secret places of the world. That's how it is in the confession. But in Isaiah 45, from verse 3, he said, God, he will give you hidden treasures and secret riches or something. However, put that up for me. Let's close. That's my last scripture, Isaiah 45, 3. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places so that you may know that I, the Lord, am the one who has called you by your name. I started to understand that there's this realm that I've never yet touched personally. And now we're ready to go there. From that sacrificial seed, some things already happened this year that broke records. Things we have not experienced in 25 years. Things we have never experienced in our lives have already happened. But as I kept repeating this scripture and this line in the confession, it just comes to me. Sometimes I wake up and just
And suddenly it came to me. One of these days, and I started saying it, one of these days, I don't know when it is in the future, that vision is going to manifest. It's cooking now. One of these days, we are going to give $1 million to the kingdom of God. $1 million to the kingdom of God. It's not for the dollar and the cents. It's to advance the work of the kingdom. To advance. All those thousands we were spending in Columbus, it came from a seed. It came from. You see, every time you ask me for something, I didn't sweat. You remember? I never sweated. I know sometimes you were even afraid to ask me. Like, what's he going to think now? This is a lot. I say, yeah. And we just go, we just transfer it to you. It came from a seed. There was already a seed, and I did not even know that that's what the Lord wanted it for. The law of sacrifice says you can craft the future that God has promised you by making the greatest sacrifice that you have ever made in your life in the moment. Devoting yourself to a life of sacrifice. Money is a good example, but that's just one of many examples. The law of sacrifice. To devote yourself. To deny yourself. You can craft the future. See, I now see $1 million. I didn't see before this year. I now see $1 million. One of these days, if the Lord tarries, before Jesus comes, 1 year, we will put together all our giving and there will be $1 million. I know it. I know it. I've already seen it. I've already seen it. But I couldn't see it before that sacrificial seed. That sacrificial seed broke that barrier. When Noah made that sacrifice, he crafted a new future for humanity. Our confession says, the plague is stopped, the curse is broken, and my bloodline is redeemed. Noah did that. How did he do it? He put animals, sacrifice, and God smelled this beautiful aroma. And when God smelled it, he said, from this day forward, I commit to you, this earth, seed time and harvest, will never see. Noah crafted a new future for humanity by the sacrifice that he made. You are on the precipice of something. You are on the brink of something. God is about to unleash something glorious over your life. I said he's about to. I don't see you receiving. Somebody somewhere. I have to go and preach this in the Philippines. I'm coming to the Philippines. I have to go and preach this somewhere in the Philippines. Hallelujah. I have to go, Deaconess Maria. I have to go and preach this in Mexico. Somewhere in Mexico. I'm serious about this. I'll never forget earlier on in our ministry. Let's stand to our feet. Let's close this service. Earlier on in our ministry. We were still meeting in the school then. And I remember, I'll minister some of these things. The Lord would give me these prophetic things, and I'll just preach it with all my heart. And you know, many times people were just sitting down there like bricks, like it's not really working, it's not really connecting. And then I met a dear brother, Pastor Nieves, and he was leading a Spanish church somewhere on the west side of Cleveland. And he heard one of my messages. He said, you have to come and minister to our people. You have to come and preach to our people. So I went there. somewhere to even to get into that place. It wasn't like a fancy building like this. It wasn't nothing. It was just like one little corner somewhere, right there, somewhere, you know. And I got in there, and all these people were so excited. They were like, well, they were singing, they were doing everything. And I started preaching the word, and I started prophesying, and they were jumping up, and their heads were saying, wow, can I please pastor you people? Can I take over from Pastor Yervis? And it dawned on me, hunger is a requirement for the fulfillment of the word of God. Yes. That's why when that prophet prophesied, and that man that the king was leaning on, he said, even if God opens the windows, will that ever happen? And he said, you will see it, but you will never eat of it. What was he lacking? He was lacking hunger. He couldn't receive it because he lacked hunger. I don't want you to lack hunger today. We have a couple of minutes before I close this service. I want you to dig up. Listen, can you put up that scripture one more time for me? Luke chapter 5 verse 26 in the Amplified. Astonishment, overwhelming astonishment and ecstasy. That has to happen in your life. This year, I want you to crank up the engine of hunger and fervor. I don't want you to be like that man who was saying, even if God opened the windows of heaven, he can never. I don't want you to be like that. I don't want you to be indifferent to the promise of God. I don't want you to be indifferent to the word of God. I want you to crank up the engine of your believing. Right now, let's do it. Let's do it. You have some good music? Just some good, quiet, cool music. I'm about to close, but I want to close. Let's close well. Let's close well. I know we are celebrating a precious woman of God right after we share the grace. So let's close this well. I want you to crank up a hunger within your spirit. This is not just limited to those that are in this room. Wherever you are. I want you to crank up the hunger. Come on now, don't be indifferent now. Crank up the hunger in your spirit to receive what the Lord has promised you. Is there faith in the room? Come on, is there faith in the room? Let's go ahead, let's take it. Let's take everything that the Lord has promised us. Let's thank Him in advance for it. Let's lay hold on His promise. Let's lay hold on the fulfillment of His promise. Let's lay hold on the fulfillment of His promise. I'm going to be here 2 more minutes. I want you to crank it up, crank it up. Don't get familiar with this word. You are on the brink of something great. You are on the precipice. There's something about to be unleashed upon you. There is something about to happen for you. There is something about to happen for you. There is something that has been packaged from heaven that is about to happen for you. There is something that has been prepared that is about to happen for you. There is something that is about to happen for you. There is something. I hear the word of the Lord. There is something that is about to happen for you. There is something that is about to happen for you. Come on, I hear the word of the Lord. There is something that is about to happen for you. There is something that is about to happen for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, that's it. Thank you, Lord. We receive it. We thank you for it. Go ahead, lift up your hands to heaven. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you so much. Lord, we dare to enter into the realm of the impossible.
We dare to enter into the realm of the unconventional. We dare to enter into the realm of the supernatural. We dare to enter in. We dare to bask in the glory. 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 I thank you, Father. I thank you, God. Receive grace wherever you are today. Receive grace right now. Receive grace to do what you couldn't do before. Receive grace to take what belongs to you. When God said to Abraham, walk through the length and the breadth of the land, receive grace to take it before you own it. Receive grace to take it before you own it. Receive grace to take it before you own it. Receive grace to take it before you own it. For the glory of Almighty God. For the glory of Almighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We thank you so much for the mighty presence of the Holy Spirit and that which He has done for us, that which He is doing in us, and that which He is doing ahead of us. We crank up, oh God, the engine of our faith. We receive, oh God, in faith, everything that you have promised. We lay hold on your word because you cannot fail. You are the God who has never failed and you will never fail. Incredible is coming our way. Ecstasy is coming our way. Supernatural is coming our way. Miraculous is coming our way. This year. The celebrations have started, but we have not peaked yet. Lord, over the next few weeks, greater celebrations, greater celebrations, greater celebrations. Lord, like it happened for us just a few weeks ago, with ecstasy, with astonishing joy, jumping, leaping, shouting, kneeling, rubbing our head on the floor, glorifying you, screaming our heads off at the incredible work of your God, of our God. Father, let that be the portion of every man and every woman and every boy and every girl under the sound of my voice. Everyone that is heard your word today, everyone that has heard your word today, Lord, in just a few weeks from now, incredible, 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 incredible. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory. And we give you all the praise. You alone deserve it. Receive it to yourself, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody shout a living amen. Put your hands together and bless the name of the Lord. Come on, go ahead. You can do better than that. Hallelujah.